I want to give you, present to you, the gift of God, prophet, evangelist, teacher, Dean Clark.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah.
Take your liberty.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you here tonight. This place gets fuller and fuller every time I'm here. Amen.
Amen.
But I feel the presence of God. I mean, it is so refreshing to be here tonight. And I have a privilege of being able to travel all across America. I've been many, many countries all over the world. But I tell you, it is a treat and a blessing. It's an outstanding blessing being here in this ministry, ABC Church. Hallelujah. I always look forward to it. And always something dynamic happens in this wonderful ministry. And I love your pastors. You have some great pastors here. They love God. Amen. Truly are worshipers of the Lord. And I get fed. I listen to your pastor's teachings in my time's driving. And I get so blessed. I get so fed by this great teaching ministry. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And let me ask you this. Who here is not from the United States? Let me see your hand. You're not from the... Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. I'm not from the United States either. This is so unusual. I've never asked that. It's such an amazing... one pastor said, he said it was a vegetable soup, he called his church, because we've got so many different types of people here. Amen. Raise your hand one more time if you're from a different country. Where are you from, Pastor Wong?
Jamaica.
Jamaica. You have that Jamaican feel about you. Now, we have been friends for probably, Pastor Wong's family for probably over 20 years. And your brother, is it your brother or is it who, and his wife, Rita, were close friends with my daddy. Now, are you, what nationality are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that.
I'm asking it for a reason.
I understand. I was born in Jamaica.
Yes.
My father was Chinese and my mother was
Chinese. Okay. My grandmother was from China. And the reason why I asked, I was going through my dad ministered here. So it's always special when I'm here. I always get touched by the Lord in a special way because my dad always bragged about being here and loved ministering here and loved your pastors. And, but I have something in his house that he got from China that I want to give to you because I know it's your birthday. And it was something that's been in his house for over 25 years from China. And I want to give it to you this week. Amen. How many know it's Pastor's birthday? Tomorrow? Is it tomorrow? Hallelujah. Amen. Cecil? Brother Cecil. Cecil B. DeMille. All right. Where are you from, hon?
Jamaica.
Okay. Who else is here from a different country? Where are you from? Jamaica. You know, I was under Pastor Noel Jones for years. He was from Jamaica. And Grace Jones, you know? Who else is from different country?
Jamaica.
Oh, my God. We outnumbered here. Who is from Jamaica? Okay, Jamaica. Jamaica. Okay, what is another country? Argentina. Praise the Lord. Okay, and Guyana. Wow, praise the Lord. Philippines, but you're white. Philippines.
My father's American.
Wow, awesome. You ever eat balut?
Yeah.
Yuck. I'm sorry. Balut. Hey, you know who knows does not know what balut is? Okay, balut is half. It is half formed. Chickens that are half formed that they eat. I can't do it. You know, I can't do that. But it's good to see. I'm from Australia, by the way. And I have a word that I want to share from the Lord for you tonight that I believe is a rhema word. And it's found in Luke chapter 5. I feel so blessed here tonight. I feel the blessing and the anointing of God. I just feel in my spirit that there is a release of the anointing of the things you specifically need from God. If you'll ask him for those things, they're going to manifest in this season. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's going to be specific favorable open doors upon your life. The anointing of God. Anything that you ask the Lord for, open doors, there's going to be a release of that anointing. Amen. I feel this from the Spirit of God right now. Some outstanding things. Pastor Joshua, there's going to be some outstanding things that you're going to ask God for in this season that are going to open for you, that are going to be extraordinary. Doors that you're going to walk into that are going to be extraordinary. The Lord says, ask for them. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to go from the first verse. If I'd have known all these Jamaicans were here, I would have prayed to God, just give me some jerk chicken. Come on. You got to be careful of Jamaicans. They got some hot sauce in Jamaica. Are you there in Luke chapter 5? It says this, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust a little from the land. And he went and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That means a mega harvest, a very large harvest. Amen. Amen. I don't want Jesus in my life and have some mediocre harvest. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I don't want to feel all the anointing and presence of God and just have something mediocre when I'm hooked up to the greatest person that's ever will be, that ever could possibly be. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And Simon answering and said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so it was that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And I want to preach or just speak or teach tonight on the season of your mega harvest. The season of your mega harvest. Amen. And I want to basically speak about the faithfulness of God. Let's pray tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that Jesus is the living word. And I pray, Lord God, for in this house tonight, that you would release the harvest, Lord, financially, Lord, of the favor of God, of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of our revelation and knowledge of you. Lord, release tonight in this place the season of the harvest that we knew was going to start. Lord, I pray tonight that we would enter into that thing, that season, that promised land that we've been waiting for. I pray that anointing would change us tonight. Bring us revelation by your Spirit. Encourage us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray, demonstrate your faithfulness tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking tonight about the harvest is important in your life because you have to have a time when you call upon what you've sowed into the kingdom. Amen. God just doesn't leave us in happenstance or I hope so. I got a revelation that the Lord spoke to me that anytime you come to a need in your life, you have the ability to speak the harvest over what you need. My dad that preached here gave 80% of his income. And I'm not just talking about financial tonight. Amen. When I say harvest, amen, the harvest is the favor of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The harvest is the joy of the Lord. The harvest is connections to ministries and destiny being fulfilled. My dad's daughter died, and he gave 80% of his income to the gospel. And at that point, when she was dead for 15 minutes, and this has been on television, my uncle began to say, Lord, he sowed into your kingdom. He's given to see children all over the world saved. Now his daughter is gone, and we need your help. And he began to pray to God and spoke. It was a time for harvest. And my little sister came back to life. Amen. And I believe that in any different part of your life that you have a right, whether it's favor, whether it's salvation for your family, that you have the right to speak, Lord, I need favor and I need a harvest at this point in my life. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You don't want to call all your harvest in right away because you may need some somewhere else for the future. You got to be ready when you come into your season. But the children of Israel, God said, get all the gold from Egypt. For your journey, you're going to need the gold. So they had the right to claim a part of the harvest for what they worked for. Glory to God. So whatever your need is right now, you can claim, God, I need to enter. I'm claiming my harvest in this season of my life. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
I have, this is not being egotistical, and I praise the Lord that God's opened up doors, so many doors around the world, around the country. And why is it? It's not really because I'm just incredibly just sowing everything of my life so intensely right now. But when I was a young man, I went to Bible school in New Guinea, and instead of taking a rock and roll world life as a musician or taking a very wealthy status in my dad's business, I sold my life, and God has been faithful. And this is what I want to speak to you tonight, that God is a faithful God, that he sees your tears, your struggles, your sowing. Hallelujah. I believe, Pastor Trevor, Pastor Joshua Trevor, that this is a season that you're going to enter into. I feel this in the spirit of everything you've been waiting for and looking for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying, I've given you nations. He says, I've given you nations. Now watch this. We're going to talk tonight about Peter. Everything that's in this particular message is about the psychology or the psyche or what's in the mind or spirit of Peter. Everything in Luke chapter 5. Amen. Watch. He fishes all night and gets absolutely nothing. Then the next day he goes, and in one moment of time or 1 hour or however long it was, he catches a mega harvest. Number one, in an evangelistic sense, it doesn't matter what has happened your whole life or what has not happened or what breakdowns you've got. One touch of the anointing of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And I don't care what's happened to your life to this point. Glory to God. One touch of the anointing could put something in your spirit where you can begin to reap a harvest of the goodness of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, just keep this in mind. The Bible says that he would pour out the former and the latter rain. The former rain's moderate, the latter rain, amen, together. The former rain in the Old Testament, when he's talking about this in Joel, in the Middle East, is a rain that is causes the seed, the ground to be broken up, for the seed to be planted. The rain represents the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has anointed you to plant a seed, there is always a future result that God knows is going to happen. That's why you've got this intense praise that doesn't seem to make sense according to your current circumstance, because, hallelujah, when you plant a seed, it's because there is something in the Holy Spirit that God knows is going to happen in your life. Can you say amen? Someone say, I'm getting ready to go into what I've been anointed for. Glory to God. But that the latter rain is different. The latter rain is releases the final push of the plant or whatever you would call it, the energy to release the final harvest, Cecil B. DeMille.
Amen.
Amen. It releases the the final harvest. So God said this, I'm going to release the former rain and the latter rain. What does that literally mean? It just like Peter, he caught nothing all night, but he was sowing his life into believing God. He was believing God. I'm a man of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. Surely I'm going to catch fish. He went out there in faith. And the next day, not only did he go out fishing, but he reaped. Amen. As soon as he went out, he reaped. This is what I'm talking about. In this season that you are going to get an anointing to sow a seed, and immediately there's going to be an anointing for you to receive a harvest. God said in the last days, I'm going to do a quick work. Glory to God. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Hallelujah. In this season, you're going to prophesy and it's going to happen immediately. God said in the last days, it's Joel 2 is a last days book. And he said, one of the significant things about the last days, amen, you're going to sow a seed. I've been seeing people financially. My mother just sowed a financial seed of $500 into a missions group. Amen. That night, my brother said, I just want to give you this. Gave her the $500 back. And that week, my friend said, the Lord's been speaking to me about your mom. I go, you sure it's about my mom? I'm the preacher. And he said, yeah, the Lord spoke to me about the number 5. That week, it was 3 days later, God spoke to him to give my mother $5,000. Glory to God. I've been seeing this over and over. People have been getting a prophetic word, and immediately their children are saved. Amen. They've been getting words, and God said, I'm going to pour out the former rain, the anointing to say it, and the latter rain together. As soon as you speak it, God's going to do it in the spirit realm in these last days. Can I get a witness here? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this. Someone say he's going to do a quick work. The Bible said, first of all, they had to press to see Jesus. This is my first point about psychologically in the heart of Peter. He had to press. He had to go back out one more time. Approaching Jesus is never casual. He will never make it casual for you to approach God. You can't say, well, I just wasn't born up to lift my hands and praise God. When you need God bad enough, you will be willing to praise the Lord and get over your past or your culture. Amen. I don't care if you're white as Wonder Bread. When you really need something from God... Jesus has never approached casually. His harvest watch was on the other side of the temptation to give up. So let me say that again. His harvest was on the other side of his temptation to give up. He didn't catch nothing. He was disappointed. Psychologically, emotionally, he's saying, Lord, I haven't caught nothing. I loved you. I served you. I've honored you. But I haven't caught what I've been waiting for my whole life. So he had to press against psychological. Like some of you, you haven't seen what you've been waiting for. But hallelujah. The reason why there's got to be a pressure against you going back is because there is always a harvest on the other side of you giving up, of the temptation for you to give up. Are you following what I'm saying? Your hindrance is the doorway to your destiny. Facing that which says you can't get it and say, I've got to get it, is what's between you and your miracle. Bartimaeus, the disciples are telling you to shut up. The Lord allowed the disciples to tell him to shut up because it was him saying, devil, you're not going to shut me up, which caused his miracle. It is defiance that is faith. I don't believe what I've got. I don't believe in what I'm in right now. I don't believe my situation. I'm going to resist the temptation to give up. That's what qualifies you for your harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. There is always a giant in front of your promised land. God allowed the giant to be there because he knew when you are willing to face the giant that says you can't get it, you are ready for your breakthrough. When you are willing to face that giant that says your family is going to stay bound to drugs, and you face that giant and say, devil, you a liar. Get ready for the anointing to destroy that giant. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? When you are willing to say to that spirit that's trying to keep you in some kind of poverty, devil, I am not going to stay broke. The hindrance and what's trying to stop you, amen, is always there on the other side of your breakthrough. It takes a pressing. Glory to God. The only woman that got healed in the crowd was a woman that pressed, amen, through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. There's something about fighting your psychology, fighting your past season, fighting everything, fighting the giant, and say, I want this bad enough to face that giant, and I'm going to go out one more time and believe God. There's something about defying the enemy. Resist the devil and he will flee. Glory to God. That's what faith is. I defy what I've got right now. I defy this season. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I felt like I fished all night. But something in my spirit says, I'm going to go back out one more time. I don't believe God is going to disappoint me. It's interesting how Jacob wrestles with the Lord. And the Lord says to him, let me go. Why would God say, let me go? He didn't want him to let him go. He was trying to get something in him that would hold on. That's what he was trying to do. Glory to God. He was saying, let me go, because he knew not letting go is what qualifies you for the harvest. Yeah. Telling the enemy, I'm back believing God for a breakthrough. I'm back praising God for my new victory. Amen. It is not letting go that qualifies you to be favored. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why would God harden Pharaoh's heart and not let his people go? He wanted Pharaoh to be saved, but it's not that he was trying to harden Pharaoh's heart. He was trying to toughen Moses' heart. We always talk, why did he harden Pharaoh's heart? And we get into the doctrinal theory. He wasn't so concerned about Pharaoh's heart. He was concerned about putting something in Moses' heart. Because every time he said, no, I ain't going to let your people go, Moses got a new fight in him. Every time he said, I ain't going to let them go, there was a new anointing for him to make them. That's why God doesn't allow the enemy just to release stuff easy in your life. Because if it's released easy, he can take it away from you. Glory to God. But when you fought, when you've believed God, Pastor, when we've waited, when we've sowed, when we believed, when we fought the enemy, you may knock me down, but I ain't going to cry for too long. I'll get back up because I've waited and been through too many struggles. And so not only did Moses have, amen, the blessing of getting his people out, he had the authority. So God, amen, he doesn't allow your season of harvest to just come easy to bless you. He wants you to have authority too. Because if you don't have authority, when the enemy takes everything you got, you lose your mind. But you find someone with authority, take away everything they've got, they're going to come back believing God. Take away their money, they'll come back and be a success. Don't answer their prayers the way they want, they'll come back saying, devil, I still believe God. So you ought to thank God you just didn't get your harvest last night. Put something in your spirit that you don't judge by what you see. You judge by, I got something in my spirit that I've been waiting for, that I've been believing for. There's something in my spirit. It didn't come easy. And devil, you're not going to take it. I'm going to go back out one more time and reap my harvest. Someone say, I'm going back out one more time.
I'm going back out one more time.
Hallelujah. Someone say, press.
Press.
I've got to press.
Press.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say,
this giant
that's telling me to give up,
means I've arrived
at the promised land of my harvest.
Glory to God.
Amen. Now watch, I like this. The Bible said he left speaking. He stopped just speaking. And he said, go out and launch. I'm not just going to talk to you your whole life. Someone say, Jesus, I don't want to just talk to me my whole life. I need some fish in my boat. Come on, I'm glad you told me you're the Lord of the harvest. Now, Jesus, stop speaking about it and bring it to me. Can you say amen, somebody? You know, sometimes, you know, God doesn't get upset when you're real to him, when you're real with him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The greatest miracles that I've got in my life is when I had a problem with Jesus. Because you got a problem anyway, you might as well be honest with him, right? Come on here, somebody. Amen. So the Lord touched him. He said, let me go. He said, no way, I ain't gonna let you go. You let me feel all this presence. I need some blessing in my life. I'm not gonna let you go. But watch this. He fished all night. Now, commentators say this when they say it all night. This is interesting. Some would say he's gonna stop speaking. And he's going to show up in this season. Commentators say that the fishing all night literally was 6 hours. 6 hours, six represents the number of flesh. Peter fished for approximately 6 hours and saw no fish. He did everything in his flesh. And when I mean flesh, I don't mean sinful flesh. I mean, some of us, we had to just press our way to be here tonight. Some of us didn't feel like praying, but we prayed anyway. Some of us didn't feel like giving. Amen. And it was hard, but we gave anyway. Some of us, even though we were hurting, we said, though you slay me, yet shall I trust you. And just like Peter fished for 6 hours, representing the number of man and the number of flesh, God saw him fish all night. And he said, you fished all night and seen nothing. You've sowed out of your flesh, and I don't mean negative. You've sown what you could do. You've done what you could do. You've been faithful. You've held on. You've believed me. You've trusted me. You've prayed, and you never cursed God. You said, Lord, I still believe you're going to do it. You've done what you can for 6 hours, but God's telling you, like he told Peter, I want you to go out a seventh hour. Because six represents the number of man, but seven represents the number of God. And God's saying, hallelujah, you've done what you could do. You've prayed. You've believed God. Now I'm getting ready to step in and do what I could do. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I heard about a man dipped six times in Jordan. God said, dip seven times. He dipped six times and nothing happened. But on the seventh time, the power of God came in and brought him a victory, amen, that only God could bring. Bring him. And here's my message for you. I want you to go back out, you that are discouraged, you that have done all you can, but God's saying you've done what you could do. I am not just going to speak anymore. I'm going to leave speaking and I'm going to manifest. Amen. I'm going to manifest the seventh man, which is God. In other words, God's going to take over your harvest. God's going to take over manifesting this thing. God's going to take over bringing this thing to pass. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen. I heard about it. Amen. They gave him, they didn't just give him six items. They gave him five loaves of bread and two fish. They gave him seven items before it multiplied. Are you here with me?
Yes.
Glory to God. Someone say he's going to leave speaking. Amen. I remember I was in India and I was preaching and it was when we first attacked Iraq. And I remember, you know, thinking, oh, my Lord, it's the wrong time to go to India right now, because I was going to this particular village with a lot of Muslims were there. And so I go into this village and the very first thing I see when I enter into the village was, and I'm thinking, you know, hopefully they'll chill about me being from America and stuff. I go to the village and there's a huge banner, red, white and blue. Welcome, Dean Clark from the USA. So I'm going, help me, Jesus. So I go into this village and I see this statue and I go, what's the statue? I go, oh, this village is named after a goddess that chops men's head off. I go, okay. And so we walk to the village and I see these guys under this kind of hut. And they got speakers throughout the entire village, they just don't have them in one area. The whole village has got speakers for the crusade I'm going to preach. So I you know, get closer to where I'm going to be preaching, and all these men are there. I can see they're Muslims, and so they're looking at me and pointing and talking. And I go to my interpreter. What are they saying? They go. He listens. He goes, They're saying you're the people that killed his people. I go, oh my God, okay. So they get me on top of this roof. And, you know, usually you have a banner behind you when you preach. Well, I'm on this platform. They got no banner, and it's like this entire village, like little city. And I'm envisioning snipers. I'm not kidding you. I'm thinking, I'm really seeing this. And I'm kind of scared. I'm going, oh, my Lord. So I'm preaching about Jesus is alive. Jesus is a healer. Now, watch this. I got no faith. I'm a Lord, please, you got to do something. I didn't feel nothing. And so I'm getting ready to preach or pray for them for healing. And I'm thinking, just in case they don't get healed tonight, I'm going to pray for them down there. So if they get healed, they can come up here after they're healed. Cause I'm scared. I'm just being honest with you. It was different. And so I'm thinking, well, I'm going to pray for them right down there. So, you know, when they get healed, then I could, just in case someone don't get healed up here and whatever they're going to do to me. So I'm getting ready to pray for them. And all of a sudden I get a tap on my shoulder. I was so young then, they used to actually paint mustaches on my poster. Now they're trying to raise the mustache. So I get a tap on my shoulder. And they go, Pastor Dean, Pastor Dean. And I look over and they go, this little girl needs prayer. And I go, oh my God, she's got two crutches, walkers. They said she's 9 years old. She's never walked without these in her entire life. Her family wants you to pray. And so I don't have any faith. And I think, Lord, I've been preaching for 45 minutes. You're alive. You're the healer. I said, Lord, I don't feel nothing. You're going to have to handle this one. And I said, Lord, this is all up to you, Jesus, because I don't feel nothing. But something came over me. And I said, throw down those crutches in the name of Jesus. She threw down those crutches. And this little girl in front of thousands of Hindus and Muslims lifted up her hands. And I have it on video. Her parents started crying tears. And she walked for the first time in her life in front of thousands of Muslims and Hindus. Hallelujah. God didn't give up when I didn't have the faith. God said, in this season, I've seen you testifying. I've seen you holding on to me. I've seen you telling I'm a good God, and don't fool yourself because you haven't caught anything. Hallelujah. You've been out there 6 hours, but God is saying the seventh hour has come. Go out in the seventh hour because the seventh man is getting ready to take over and bring you a harvest that you'll know is God. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heard about one woman married to five men, amen, and was living with the sixth man. But hallelujah, something in her wouldn't give up. She had to find the seventh man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but amen, hallelujah. You see, this is why you can't give up. This is why you feel something in your spirit. You've been disappointed. You've been hurt. But hallelujah, there is a harvest saying, I will not let you go in your disappointments. I will not let you go without reaping a harvest. I will not let you go. I've seen your faith. I've seen you holding on to God. I've seen you trusting. Hallelujah. Your harvest is out there. And the reason why you're going back, it is your GPS saying it ain't over until God shows up and shows his faithfulness in my life. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Someone say, I hear the sound. Elijah's servant went out 6 times and saw nothing. But on the 7th time, he saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I can't judge you just because you're getting a little harvest. It may look just like a little cloud, but in that cloud is the beginning of everything you've been waiting for, everything you've been believing for, everything you've been trusting for. Can you say amen, somebody? Someone say, I feel a season's coming in my life. Glory to God. Someone say, I've got to press. I've got to go back. Say, this season, the seventh man is going to make it happen. Amen. Give the Lord a little hand of praise. Watch this. Now, so Peter had to press. Watch this. The Bible said they washed their nets. Peter had to wash his mental net. To go back out, he had to say, Lord, I've caught nothing the whole night, but I've got to wash myself of that thought that the results that are going to happen from now on have anything to do with what didn't happen. Someone say, I've got to wash my nets.
I've got to wash my nets.
Amen. You got to, the Bible says, washing of the water of the word of God. You've got to wash. Someone say, I've got to rinse myself.
I've got to rinse myself.
Of the residue. Of what I've ever caught. In a net, the reason why they wash a net, not number one, if you don't wash it, it becomes stinky. Yeah. If you don't wash yourself of your past, you become stinky in your attitude. Amen. Amen. Because you will think like things always will be the way they were, and you've got to rinse yourself of whatever it was, because God has something new you've never seen. Amen. If you'll wash yourself of your past, you won't have a stinky attitude. But what happens is, when you don't wash a net, the bacteria from the last catch, the guts, my mom don't like me saying guts. I don't know, what do you call it? Innards. Okay, that sounds country. Come on. If y'all will wash the innards out. if you don't wash the innards and the slime and the fish parts off the net, the bacteria, watch this, the bacteria will begin to eat into the net and will rot the net. So if you don't wash the residue of what you've caught, your past harvest will get into your net and will rot your possibility of what God will do in your future. Are you following what I'm saying? So you've got to rinse yourself of everything in the past, because if you don't, you will start to have faith in the same results. So God says, I want you to release yourself of every old result, because what I'm getting ready to do in your life is going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. So I want you to rinse your net and say, Lord, I'm expecting something I have never seen before, something I've never experienced before. Glory to God. So you've got to rinse the old bacteria. And I'm not just talking about bad things. Amen. And certainly we all need to rinse ourselves from bad things. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you need to rinse yourself from that old guy you were dating. Amen. Because you're going to think this next guy is going to do the same stuff, and you will taint your future by closed doors that you thought would happen, and you're looking for a new closed door. So you've got to release yourself of the residue of the past. Amen. But not only do you need to release yourself of negative things, you got to release yourself of good things, because what's getting ready to happen is not good. It's going to be great. You ain't just going to catch a few fish. You're going to catch something mega, bigger than you've ever experienced. God said, I'll do something more than you ask or more than you think. It's going to be bigger than you think. So you got to rinse yourself. Amen. Moses is good, but Moses has to die. Amen. The good has to die, because I'm getting ready to bring something so great that you've got to release good out of your life. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. When Jesus came to Peter, amen, he started to wash his feet. The very first thing he did is wash his feet. And Peter said, Lord, I can't let you wash my feet. He said, if I can't wash your feet or wash where you've walked off your life, then you can have no part in me. If I can't wash everything, in other words, God's saying, I want to wash every single thing that you've ever walked in, because I'm going to allow you to walk in something you've never walked in before. So I've got to rinse all that off, or you have no part in me. And Peter said, wash my hands, wash my feet, wash every part of me, if that's what it's going to take to bring me to my destiny. So you've got to rinse off your walk to walk into something brand new. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Someone say, rinse yourself. Rinse your net of every past experience. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what he said to Abraham. Don't bring any of your relatives with you. Don't bring Lot with you. Because what I'm getting ready to make you, I don't want any voices to remind you of anything you were. Because I'm going to make you something you've never been. So don't bring any voices that say you're going to be anything like you, what you came out of. Because I'm going to make you, hallelujah, something you've never been in your life. Glory to God. I'm going to give you a harvest you've never caught in your entire life. I'm going to bring you blessings you've never experienced. In your life. And when you get to it, there won't be one smell of smoke. There won't be no fire on you. You will look so good. It won't be like anything you've ever been in. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Someone say, I gotta wash my net. Amen. Look at somebody, just go. My sister, I was with my sister shopping today. I said, you ate garlic last night. She said, yeah, I ate garlic last night. Okay, watch this. Some would say, I'm going to have a joyous attitude. Because my future is going to be like nothing I've never experienced. He gets into Simon's boat. Now, Simon, we know that Simon means changeable. In the negative, it means unstable. But Jesus did choose his boat because unstable is also a positive quality, because unstable also means the ability to change. That's why God chose him. He had the ability to change. That's why God don't pick a bunch of good people that don't need to change. He picks up people like us that, Lord, I know I need to change. Come on. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Don't tell me you don't need to change. I'll take your spot at the mall. Amen. You're getting ready to park there and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. All of a sudden, someone else squeezes in there. Amen. You know you need to change. Simon means the ability to change. Amen. The very first miracle did, Jesus took water. And when they poured it out, the water, hallelujah, the water that had been water since eternity, either liquid or in the air or in ice, it changed into something it had never been before. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Very first miracle that Jesus did. Someone say, I believe. It can change. That's why God spoke to Abraham and made him the father of many nations. Lord, I'm old. I'm 90 years old, but I still believe this thing can change. That's who God partners with. Hallelujah. People that have the audacity. That's who the anointing will be imparted in your life. Say, God, I ain't have it my whole life, but I got a feeling it's getting ready to change. I know that child been messed up for 10 years, but one day the anointing of God is going to change it. I know I've had closed doors, but I know, God, one open door can change everything. Lord, I'm still opening up my spirit that there's still a day of breakthrough when you're going to bring something in my life to change. He believed. I've been fishing all night, but Lord, I receive that it still can change. Can you say amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Someone say, I still believe in change.
I still believe in change.
Look at someone and say, I also believe in cash.
I also believe in cash.
Hallelujah. I had enough change. I need some cash now. Come on. So Simon means the willingness to change. Someone say, Lord, I'm willing to change.
Lord, I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to believe that everything can change in my life. Now watch, they go out a little from the land. He doesn't go way out there. They go out a little from the land. Because you've got to be faithful in little things. Mm-hmm. He's faithful in little, I'll make him ruler over much. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
You got to praise God and give him the glory with the you've got to be faithful with your attitude right now.
Yes.
If you don't got a good attitude about God, how's God going to increase you? You don't even believe him with the little you got right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've got outside there, I've got a 97 CVR. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm celebrating it. I'm praising God for it because I got to be faithful with that little thing for God to bring me something else. And I sure need something else. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So be faithful in your attitude. Be faithful. This is why, Pastor Joshua, I have preached to 50 people like 5,000 because I know there is a God that's watching me to see him if I'll be faithful to take care of what I got right now. Amen. Your attitude, your praise is overqualifying you if you'll be faithful in what you've got. My God, Pastor Joshua, you've overqualified yourself. I don't know what God's getting ready to do, but you've overqualified yourself for everything you're in. I feel it's like a cocoon. There's wings in you that are just pushing in this season in your life. There's more for than you what you think. This is part of my message. That harvest was more than what he thought. Hallelujah. This is a season of launching for you, Pastor. This is a season of launching forward. God says, I want you to ask largely. I see a change. I feel like a butterfly in a cocoon that's just pushing and say, I've got to get out of this. Amen. That her wings are starting to push through this thing. My God, I don't know what's getting ready to happen, but something's getting ready to happen in this ministry. I'm telling you prophetically, this is a year of change. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Someone say, I'm qualifying myself for the next level.
I'm qualifying myself for the next level.
I get tired of seeing young guys that say, one day, you know, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I got all these big dreams. I say, buy yourself a lawnmower and start mowing some lawns and make a little money before your big dream comes true. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People talk about, and I said, do something small. Just do something. Amen. Now, I've got a great idea for any women that want to get into business and make money. Instead of waiting for the big door to open, get yourself a makeup kit from Walmart and invite all the church women and tell them, you want to talk about some church people. You will get such a crowd for your makeup business. Now, don't gossip. I'm telling you. And then just go and just invite him to your house and talk about all the good stuff of God. But I'm telling you, that's some good bait for get church lady. Just tell him, hey, did you hear the news? And just tell him about Bible stories and stuff. Someone say,
be faithful.
In a little. Amen. Be faithful in a little. Now watch. Amen. And by the way, just came in my spirit. Before you wait for the mega harvest, celebrate what you've got. Amen. Celebrate the beginning of your harvest. Hallelujah. You know what? If you wait for your harvest to come, it ain't never gonna come. You know when your harvest comes? When you start celebrating. I've only got a 97 CRV, but this is the first CRV of the beginning of my mega harvest. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You here tonight, I am so happy because you are the beginning of my mega harvest. Oh, hallelujah. Celebrate that you've entered into the church. I know you only got a few grapes, but at least you got your foot in the beginning of your promised land. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying here tonight? Someone say, celebrate what you got.
Celebrate what you got.
Celebrate you're already in the harvest.
Celebrate you're already in the harvest.
And the Bible said, now watch this. This is interesting that in the New Testament, the Lord didn't pick any shepherds. He picked fishermen. He picks a tax collector because you know why? Because you're going to pay that 10%. Even if I got to mess up your car to make you pay that, you're going to pay. So he picks up a tax collector. Someone say, God wants his money. I got that revelation all by myself. But the other guys are fishermen. They're fishermen. And I wondered, why would God's take a fisherman? And I'll tell you why. Shepherds are happy with just taking care of their sheep. But fishermen are addicted to what else is out there. And that's what God picks people that are addicted to the spirit of expectation. Oh, hallelujah. God picks people that are addicted to, I wonder what'll happen if I just prophesy like something's going to happen. I wonder if I give like God actually is faithful to prove himself. I wonder what will happen. See, Jesus is passing by. Amen. In your life, in your destiny, whether you know it or believe it or not. What would happen if you loosed yourself to praise him, to have faith, to prophesy, to give him glory? What would actually happen? Amen. If you stepped out and said, I wonder if I let out my nets, what'll be out there? And God picked picks people to get their harvest that are addicted. I've got to keep on praising him. I have got to go out one more time, Pastor. I've been discouraged. I've been hurt, but I'm addicted in my spirit. What will happen if I go out and believe God one more time? Hey, you have nothing to lose. You might as well go ahead and praise him and give him glory. Peter didn't catch nothing anyway. He might as well go back out one more time. Have you reached the fullness of your harvest yet?
No.
Then you might as well go out and see what else is out there for you.
Amen.
Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this is interesting. He said, let your nets out into the deep. That word deep means mystery. So a fisherman is addicted to the mystery of what's in the next season, of what's going to happen if I put my faith out there. Hallelujah. See, there's no limitation in this, the mystery. That's why he said it's going to be, let me just say this. The harvest is going to be more than what you ask or think. So take off the limitations. Esther, you're not just going to be not a slave. You're going to be not a slave. You're going to marry the king and your enemies are going to be hanged. Are you hearing what I'm saying? David, you just ain't going to slay Goliath. You're going to marry the king's daughter. You're going to reign in Jerusalem. You're going to, hallelujah. You are going to be the progenitor of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Someone say it's going to be more than what I think.
More than what I think.
Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is interesting. I'm a fisherman. And one thing about fishing, and I'm not keeping you long tonight. I was fishing in Florida. And I was catching these little bluegill. Now, if you want to catch a lot of little fish, they're easy to catch a lot of little ones. Easy to catch a little fish. He said, I'm going to let down my net. Jesus said, let down your nets. Unlimited. Peter said, I'm going to let down my net. Singular. Limitation. God says, as much as you fling out there, I'm willing to bring to you. As much as you praise, as much as you let loose of your faith, you have not because you ask not. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Bunts are easy. You can hit a bunt easy and you're more likely to hit it. Home runs, there's more likely to fail. But home runs are never made easy. It's a possibility of failure. There's a possibility of failure, amen, for you to reap your harvest. Amen. You may sink when you get out of the boat. But it's better to be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. You might as well try something. Can you say amen? Someone say it's better to be a wet water walker
than a dry boat sitter.
Amen. I know you criticizing me because I got out on the water and I sunk. But what are y'all doing sitting in safety? At least I got out on the water a little bit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You take a little fish. And you put a little fish on a hook, and we would catch these huge bass. This is why you've had to go through all your faith battles and exercises in your faith. But the reason why you've had to go through all your little faith battles of dealing with emotional or someone left you or a closed door or how you're going to get through that addiction or that pain you had with the person that broke your heart or that letdown with that car. Amen. Amen. That they told you you couldn't afford and it got repoed or whatever. But all those little fishes that you've caught are not your harvest. I took a fish, I put it on the hook, and I caught a huge bass. Everything that you've been through in life, amen, was because God knew it was going to take faith to bring you to your harvest. So don't accept all those little battles and things that God brought you through that you couldn't even fix yourself. Take all those victories, put it on your hook, and say, with all that God's done for me so far, I am not going to settle for one little bluegill. Amen. The victories of my past are to put on my hook to catch the biggest victory of my future. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Someone say, the same faith that brought me out is going to bring me into my season of harvest. Glory to God. That's what David said. He said, I killed the bear. I took fish. I killed the lion. I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to put him on my hook. Now give me the biggest joker. Don't give me no little servant. God's been too good to me. I've had too much revelation. The anointing of God has brought me out of too many things. He's saved too many of my relatives. Glory to God. He's broken me out of too much stuff. Give me the biggest victory I can. God's done enough good things for you to get the biggest harvest you could get in your life. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Someone say, let down your nets.
Let down your nets.
And they go out. No, I said they go out. I didn't say that. Okay. Okay, no more repeating. Thank you. Okay. You guys are good, though. Everybody's in sync. So they go out. Now watch this. They go out. The Bible said there was too many fish and their net broke. Let me ask you this. When God brings you the harvest of what you want, are you going to be able to handle it? Are you still going to be able to say thank you, Jesus, and cry tears and be thankful? Amen. Are you going to want to help and be a blessing to people? Or when that sister knows that needs help, all of a sudden you come into the money. I think I lost y'all. Yeah, I must have lost her. You know how you do sometimes. You ever lose somebody on purpose? I don't do that either. But sometimes I thank God that I lost them on accident. Come on, I may not have lost them on purpose, but I thank God when I lost them on accident. Come on, you've done that? Come on, you go, you're talking that drama and all of a sudden you lose them and you say, thank you, Jesus. Woo. Lift your hands for just a moment. Say, Lord,
you're bringing me this harvest.
I'm going to keep on praising you.
I'm
going to
keep on being faithful.
I'm going to keep on loving you.
I'm
going to keep on loving your kingdom.
I vow that in the name of Jesus.
Now, what you did, if you said that out of your heart right now, you just qualified yourself for God to bring your harvest. Hallelujah. I said, if you really meant that, you qualified yourself for God to bring your harvest. Hallelujah. And then the Bible said they called their partners. I'm getting ready to close. They called their partners and their partners' nets. They couldn't fit them into their ships. When you reach your season of favor, it will affect every single person in your life. The Bible said favor in Proverbs, it compasses us about. In this season, there is going to be favor that everybody around you is going to want to increase. Even your gang member drug addict nephew is going to want to start a business. Glory to God. Even people that never wanted to serve God are going to start talking about Jesus. You watch. Amen. The very presence of somebody with favor, amen, will change a family, will change a neighborhood. Glory to God. When you enter into this season, even before you go to the open door, the spirit of favor is already going to be talking to that new boss or that new connection about your life, because the favor of God affects every single person that's related to them. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says this. He goes out and the Bible says, he says, Lord, he starts crying when he sees the goodness of God. Hallelujah. This season of blessing caused Peter to repent of doubting God. This season of harvest is going to change your mind. Hallelujah. It's going to cause you to repent and not doubt it when you doubted God. You thought he wasn't watching you. You're getting ready to repent. I'm not talking about a repentance of, see, Peter didn't repent for what he did wrong. He repented because he didn't really trust God was going to do that much. And God's going to bring you such a season, it's going to cause you to repent. Peter didn't realize it. When he was fishing that night and said, I'm catching nothing, he didn't know it, but the Lord was saying to a fish, come closer to Peter's harvest. When he was toiling and threw a net in, Lord, you gave up on me. Fish, come closer to Peter's harvest. When he was saying, what's going on, Lord? You said you loved me. You said I'd reap. God was calling another fish. And what you didn't realize, while all these years,
While you've been just trusting and saying, God, I ain't seen nothing, he's been calling your blessing. He's been calling, fish, come a little closer. When you doubted him, he was calling the salvation of your family. When you thought he was faithless, he was still being faithful. And that whole night, while he was seeing nothing, God was powerfully, mysteriously saying, everything that Peter's been sowing for, he may have seen it not tonight, but I am calling fish from everywhere around this lake. And when Peter goes out this time, he is going to repent and know that I am a faithful God. And this is the message for the Lord for you. In this season, you're going to reap the benefit of knowing that we serve a faithful God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now watch this. Someone say, in this season,
I receive
the benefit
of his faithfulness.
Now watch this. The Lord says to him this. The Lord spoke to me. I preached this another time. And the Lord said, look at what I called Simon after the miracle. And I said, Lord, did you call him? I had a feeling what he was going to say. And I had a feeling the word Peter was going to be in there. And sure enough, he was called, changed from just Simon to Simon Peter. The Lord made sure in the word of God, he added Peter, because upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In this season of your life, the devil ain't never going to take you back. Amen. Away from this season of harvest. He may fight you. You may go through things. I'm not saying you're not going to have struggles, but God will put something in your spirit that you will never go back to not receiving a season of harvest ever again in your life. He called him Simon Peter and said, from henceforth, you will catch men. What was he saying? I'm releasing you. You already caught a harvest. God said, I'm not just going to let you catch a harvest. I'm releasing you to even a higher level. From henceforth, you'll even catch something higher. God saying, I'm releasing you to go this season and then go to a higher season. To go to this season and then go to more faith. To go to this victory and then to... I'm unlimiting your faith to go to any level that your spirit will dictate. Someone say, I'm free to believe the way I want. Glory to God. I'm going to close with this story briefly. I was fishing. I went with fishing. Remember Jeff Fenholt, pastor? Jeff Fenholt was a good friend of mine. And we went fishing and he paid for the trip. We went with my dad. And we went to Hawaii. Someone say, thank the Lord for rich singers. Woo, took me on that trip. It was awesome. And so we went to Hawaii and he said to me, he prayed with his staff that he'd catch a world record. A world record fish. And I thought, you ain't catching no world record. Whatever. But he was serious. He grabbed hands and said, I'm believing God's going to give me a world record. I go, okay, yeah, right. So we go fishing. He catches a small fish. He says, because I don't, it was a different species. And he says, I don't want the small one. If I get another small one, you can have it. So he hooks another fish. He goes, it's a small one. We reel up the fish. It's on the deck. The deckhand goes, this thing's 72 to the captain to the deckhand. Said, this is 72 pounds. They talk to each other. I go, yeah. He looks at me. He goes, the biggest fish of this type ever caught in recorded history was 68 pounds. He said, this fish is a world record fish. What Jeff didn't realize is while he believed God for something only God could do, God sent a signal. There's somebody with faith. Start coming this way. Directed the boat to go toward the fish. The biggest fish ever caught in the world. And God answered his faith. Could it be that we serve a God that is faithful to answer your faith? And I believe you ought to ask largely. Because God's got something in your life that you will know that God has heard your prayer. Amen. Can you say amen in here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hand. Say, Father,
I receive
a season,
a season
of harvest in my life.
A harvest of favor.
A harvest of anointing.
A harvest of joy.
Now, whatever you're looking for God to do, I want you just to speak it in your own heart toward the Lord, whatever way you want, whatever you need God to do in this particular season. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Whatever it is in your own way, God's going to manifest it in this season. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.